So the second segment will be opening up to questions and preparatory for people who haven't already taken GAM.
We are at a place where you are free to ask any questions, any whatsoever, on the path of spirituality. Yes, ma'am.
So this Gnan Vidhi initiation, I'm not sure what to call it. Mm-hmm. This is what causes the pinprick in the pot. is that correct?
Yes. The Gnan Vidhi is the specific time, about 48 minutes, wherein the seeker who has not been able to experience the self within him is made to experience that through the grace of the Gnan Vidhi. In the Gnan Vidhi, really, there is no secrets. It's an open book type thing, wherein it has got three components. The first component is you go and surrender all your junk, whatever your false beliefs were, whatever your sense of the wrongs and the hurts and the pains and all the karma associated with your name. What is your name, ma'am?
Vimala.
Vimala? Yes. So Vimala's life up until this point, all the pains and the sufferings, all the karma, all the positive and the negative, everything that you think, everything that you have known, and all the karma, all illusions associated with Vimala's name, you are surrendering to the supreme entity that who is going to give you this knowledge. And that one is the Gnani Purush. The Gnani is not a physical entity. The Gnani is really the Gnan, is the knowledge. Different vehicles come in form of different bodies, and the one who gives you Gnan, the one who enlightens you, is a Gnani. The one who makes you come home is a Gnani. So then after the first surrendering, which is just an inner mental surrender, there is no giving, there is no exchange of any money, there is no contract laid between you and the Gnani. The Gnani is not your guru, he is not going, you don't have to follow him, you have to follow what your heart tells you afterwards. But the Gnani is the medium through whose words, the original words of these 24 enlightened, fully enlightened beings called Tirthankars. It is through the Gnani is the vehicle through which these original liberating words have somehow got a phenomenal effect of shattering this illusion, this maya, this mohaniya karma, that which deludes you, that which makes you forget the self, shatters it for once and all, makes a hole in that, if you would. Hole was the analogy. Much more is shattered than a hole, really. Your entire charging mohaniya karma, that which used to pull you away in the world of temptations and attractions, and you used to go with it in a very heavy manner, is shattered. The mohaniya karma, the charging mohaniya karma, is shattered, and you get to experience who you really are. Part of the Gnan Vidhi also involves with a knowledge of who the doer is. It takes 48 minutes. It is recited very fast and loud. If it happens to be there for you, maybe in English. Mostly it is in Gujarati or Hindi, and you may not understand a single word, and it does not matter. It does not matter. In fact, even those who understand the words are told not to focus on the words. They are just asked to repeat them exactly and without use of the intellect, because the moment you try to understand this magnificent word of the Gnani that is reciting, your intellect might creep in, and we do not want intellect to come in when you are receiving the waterfall of the Gnan, the knowledge. Okay, so that is the Gnan Vidhi. And then there is a third component where you are given 5 agnas and you are done within one evening.
And this kind of opening is permanent? Cannot get covered up again?
Yes. Once, even for a second, if you have had the glimpse of you, who you really are, an experiential glimpse and a conviction that gets established that you are not Vimala, and Vimala is the name of this body. Vimala is this. I am pure soul. I am the eternal one traveling in this body complex of Vimala. Your work is done. It gets done at a very subtle level. The ego has four components. The subtlest level of ego, Sukshmatam Ahankar, is fractured. And the train of Vimala that was moving on the tracks with the big engine and the huge goods train, the decoupling occurs just with the first compartment of the train. Now there is a momentum of the whole train going along with the engine too. For there for a while you will feel it's also happening, it's also the train is, the body is still there and the body effects are still there and the idea that I am Vimala is still there. But not really. There is something that has happened at a very subtle level. Even you might say it's happening to me, but you know that you have been separated forever. And he has guaranteed that this knowledge, this gnan, this awareness that I am pure soul will remain with you from birth onwards in the next life and will remain with you life after life until final liberation. This liberation that you attain in the Akram Vignan, in the direct path. Akram, no order. It's a direct, as if somebody just lifted you up from within. This you attain, this liberation is such that it is in two stages. The first stage liberation is according to what we just answered to Jane. There is a sense of insulation from the pains and the miseries of this world. You're given a break. Human beings of this earth never get a break at this time. There is something or the other is constantly happening. Either the mind is in turmoil, or there is some bad news from the doctor, or when this is good, you get a phone call and something has happened to somebody very dear to you.
Maybe Teo or Michael might give another experience.
Yes. Now, is there any questions? Please, we'll handle a question. Yes, question.
You mentioned 24 Tirthankaras. In relation to the power of this hole or whatever opening. So could you tell us something about the 24 enlightened beings?
Yes. There are 24 Tirthankar. Tirthankar is a fully enlightened human being in body form. Absolutely enlightened, has a body form. The last one that walked the face of this earth was Lord Mahavir 2600 years ago. He has opened up this whole science, but the Akram path, this stepless science directly to the self, is even much more than that. But Dada Shri, in his humility, this Akram Vignani of ours, in his humility, really wants to give them credit, but he says, I am giving you the extract of the enlightened ones. They sit, they look like Buddhas, but there's a very subtle difference. Their hands are in their laps. They are sitting cross-legs. You've seen them. Maybe some of the books have their picture also. Siddharth will point out one.
Teya
has it. Yes. That's a Tirthankar. And he says, this gnan that takes hold of you, this energy, the light that expresses within you is of the same purity and intensity, although not in its totality, as the essence of the gnan that these 24 Tirthankars had just prior to their departure from this earth of ours. The first one was Lord Rishabhdev or Adinath or otherwise Adam. And the last one was Lord Mahavir. There were 24 of them. After his departure, for the next 84,000 years on this earth of ours, there will be no Tirthankars. And the nature of life and worldly interactions between human beings and other living beings would be one of progressive decline and violence. And after another 16,000 years, there will be no religious book on this earth. There will be no temples. There will be no holy places. There will be no humanity in the way we know each other. So this is a declining time cycle. and then there will be the ascending time cycle, and in the third and the fourth divisions of the ascending and the descending time cycles, there are, by law, nature, 24 fully enlightened beings on this earth of ours. However, now, what are we going to do now? We human beings, most human beings are meant to attain their nirvana or liberation in the presence of Tirthankars, because it is that energy that pulls them out from who they really are. Your good name, sir?
Dev.
Dev. So, you see, by our own efforts, it is impossible to move away from this Deh Adhyas. I am this body. I am Dev. No matter how much you try, the intellect will run very parallel and take you that much higher, but one can never take you away from yourself and make you enter the realm of what these Jnanis have experienced. Enter Akram Vignani. He says that what you see is not Dada Bhagwan. Dada is the name, Dada Bhagwan. What you see is not Dada Bhagwan. What you see is A.M. Patel. He's a contractor by profession, a married man. Within him, in 1958, Dada Bhagwan in full glory manifest. I am not Dada Bhagwan. I am a Jnani Purush because I hold Jnan, I hold knowledge. But I slipped from 360 degrees to 356. I have deficiency of 4 degrees, and therefore I too fold my hands inwards. And when I'm not interacting with you, I'm going like this, and I'm connecting with my Lord within and saying, Dada Bhagwanna, Asin Jai Jai Karho, infinite glory to the Lord within me. So if this is probably a good time, we will just sing together. For infinite lifetimes we have placed our Lord in front of us and said, my Lord, you are nobody like you. And now the moment has come, through the grace of the Jnani, that vision which was externalized is made to turn 180 degrees inwards, and you are made to connect with your eternal Lord within you, and the eternal rhythm starts, and you say, Dada Bhagavanna, Asim Jai Jai Karo, 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 Dada Bhagavanna, Asim Jai Jai Karo. See, this is the mantra that connects within. You're not singing about an external God. You are singing about the one who has always been there with you, life after life. Only thing is, nobody had really brought him this close to him. You are at his door. In the Gnan Vidhi, he will open up to you. It is not an entity, it is pure light, the light of knowledge, the light of liberating knowledge. There is the knower and the seer, and it is the knower within you that you will become. And the knower seer is that you will become the doer, the Dev, and the victor, and the Parvati will continue to live and die. You become the eternal one. So if any questions, otherwise we are going to go into the experiences.
Do you have any other questions about the Tirthankara?
Yes, Dave.
Sir, do you have any questions? Anything else?
You came just now for the first time. Your name, ma'am?
Elena.
Elena, yes. We're going to cover up the basics over and over again. So tomorrow is our final session. a certain foundation is needed so that you can catch up, but there is a book that we will be giving you, or you can have this one. And you, ma'am, is Jay Sachidana?
Aruna.
Aruna?
Aruna,
Jay Sachidana.
And is a question?
Yes, answer. Yes, question.
Yesterday you mentioned that it has nothing to do with religion and
nothing to do
with religion.
Religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is nothing to believe in. But you speak so much about rebirth and karma, and I get the feeling you have to believe in rebirth and karma, otherwise the whole thing doesn't make any sense.
Yes, the one who does not believe that there was a previous life and there will not be another life is perhaps hasn't really gotten the right vision for it. For instance, Parvati, if this thing was lying here and you haven't seen it lying here and you're looking elsewhere and I place it here, you do not know what moved it from here to here. And it didn't just happen to pop up and be here. In the same way, this body complex that we all are walking around with is not a mere accident. Everything in this world of ours, in this phenomenal world of ours, is based on a cause and an effect relationship. If you want to move this hand up, there has to be a cause behind it, an intent to move it. Otherwise this hand will also not move. There is an intention to move this hand that sends a signal to the left side of the brain to move the right hand. So beyond everything that seemingly is happening to all of us in front of us through these five senses, underlying it is an intention, a bhav. It's called B-H-A-V, bhav, an intention. And so then when you are having a body in front of you and there is these signals that are coming through the five senses, the mind receives it, and the mind, which is developed, has a bhav. And the bhav is, I like it or I do not like it. And the moment that bhav is created, it automatically sucks up subatomic particles from this relative energies of the world, which gives rise to a causal body that is ready to take over as soon as this energized body that you had in this life comes to its natural conclusion at death. When the energized, the battery powers, the cells, the charge, the three cells, mind, speech and body, batteries, discharge, the body is buried or burned, and yet the soul, the entity, that in whose presence everybody says, hi Parvati, how are you? And in whose absence they'll say, let's get her in a hurry to a place so we can finish the process. That one has to be recognized even as you're living in this body. Now, if you do not, if a person doesn't believe in cause and effect relationships and a life before or after, it would be a tough road to really get into the details of the SELF, the capital self-realization. There will forever wander into the small SELF self-realization realm. Who am I?
So you say that through the Gnanvidhi, there doesn't come the knowledge about this previous lives and karma, that I have to believe in it before I can do this process?
No. You don't have to believe. It's not important to believe in anything.
That's my question.
Yes. Oh, well, it is not.
If I don't believe in karma.
You don't have to believe in karma. If you can feel through these five senses the effects of what is happening to you, and if you feel that you would like to be free from these effects, which by their very nature create rag or dvesh, anger, greed, deceit, pride reactions, and that there is a sense of bondage because of that, then we are saying that there is a way out of it by coming home to who you really are, and in essence you are beyond rag, dvesh, you are beyond reactions, beyond the one who is reacting to anger, greed, deceit and pride reactions. You are not the owner, Parvati, of anger, greed, deceit and pride. It is a fallacy to think that it is happening to you. It is happening to this body complex, which is reacting to its environments. And a very handsome, attractive man comes along, you don't have to do anything. It is happening to Parvati.
I just wanted to share my own personal experience in regard to your question about karma. I'm born in Sweden, and though I had been on the spiritual path for X amount of years, I had never really thoroughly inquired into the science of karma, and I had never really been presented thorough thoughts on how that would actually occur. So I didn't really believe in karma when I took this Gnan Vidhi, and it worked wonderfully for me, and I just decided to, whatever was a little bit more challenging for my intellect, I would just leave on the side until the right time would come up. And so this knowledge is so beautiful that the deeper I go in this knowledge of the self, the more it's making sense, and it's sort of coming up at the very right time for me. And so it's been a very effortless process, and I do believe in karma now. But there's, like Vinod says, you don't have to believe in anything. But what really drew me to the Gnan was that I wanted to realize who I am, and I wanted to be placed in that state or in that place, and never to waver from that, and to be given the right tools to be able to maintain that. So I don't know if that answered half, but that was my experience.
Michael, any questions? We'll take, I think, questions. Okay, yes.
Yeah, I have also a question. If you say that we are not the doers of our actions, that there is a consciousness inside and there is a life force inside which are really the doers, and through this body-mind complex. So, this respect, as I imagine, there is a script or scenario made for this body, for the person who is called Victor, mm-hmm. and me as a Victor. What can I do really? If everything is done, if everything is predetermined, if the script is written, and someone else, not me, but something, is working, living through this body, what can me as Victor? Because I don't have anything else but Victor, who is here. What can I do, or if anything can be done?
Yes, I think you asked the critical question in the pre-gnan, pre-awakening state. This is the critical question. What is my role in this body? And who am I in this body? And who is the doer of everything that is happening to Victor?
Yeah.
Who is the doer? And this, in essence, was the ultimate question which Arjuna even had for Lord Krishna. I don't know whether you're familiar with the background, but if not, we will not go there. For the world, you are the doer, Victor. For the world, you are the doer. But to believe that you are the doer, and you are really controlling the world of doer, is ignorance. You are the doer to the extent that you are one of the evidences in a whole bunch of evidences that gets a task accomplished. Did you come here or did it happen?
It happened.
It happened. Beautiful answer. It happened. Because if you say, I came here, then the next question I would ask is, what if you had a serious headache?
Again?
What if you had a headache before coming here? Or what if you
come with a headache?
Huh? Or what if he met another buddy of his in this beautiful city of Tirunelveli, where he says, "Hey, you don't want to go there. Let's go somewhere where there's a lot of stuff going on," and he would have taken him there. So many evidences have to be just right for a thing to happen, and yet you say, "I did it." You know how to make a cup of tea, right, Victor? Okay, good. So when you make a cup of tea, would you be able to make a cup of tea if there was no water?
No.
Okay. What about a matchstick? If you had to light the stuff, there was no matchstick.
Mm-hmm.
What if there was no milk, no tea, no sugar, no masala, no cup, no intent to drink tea, nobody to receive the tea? And yet when a cup of tea is made, you offer it to somebody and your friend, and he drinks it and he says, "Wow, what a great cup of tea." And immediately Victor rises inside. "I made the tea, you know, I can make it."
Mm.
And then if he makes a face after drinking the tea, you don't say anything, but he says, "Next time I'm not making tea for him." So you see, why do those reactions arise within you? You just made some tea, knowing fully well that you would not have been able to make tea if the other evidences of the sugar, the milk, all of those things would not be there. And yet, as soon as it's made, you say you did it. And because you say you did it, you have become a doer. And because you have become a doer, you have become the sufferer of the compliment that arises or the criticism that arises. In other words, in every path, every task of this world that we undertake, as I am Victor, you are caught in this trap. People will say, "Hey, you spoke so beautifully," or "You arranged this thing so beautifully." So you immediately, could we have arranged this thing if this, all of you were not there, or if this environment was not there, or, you know, so many things have to be just right before it happens. How can any individual person say, "I did it"? And that is ignorance. That is the trap of suffering. So you walk around expecting more of the same, because there is a very sweet taste of doership. Because when something good happens, you say, "I did it," and so everybody, because not giving due credit to all the other evidences that made it happen, you are swallowing the whole cheesecake. And you and I both know what happens when we swallow a whole cheesecake, you know, and there is the suffering that comes later on. See? So this that we have just discussed with you will be explored in much greater details in and post Gnanvidhi. You have asked a critical question that is more relevant after the separation, but at least is meaningful. So in this Gnanvidhi, in this enlightening process of the Akram Vignani, you are not only given the knowledge of who you are, but you are given a very precise understanding of who is it that is running the world of Victor. And it was precisely this illusion that which was shattered on the Kurukshetra in the war that made Arjun free. He did not have any compunctions about who was killing his own teacher and his own masters and his own brothers on the other side of the war. And in that very life, with that knowledge, he became fully enlightened. He attained nirvana. He was not made to do any chanting. He was not made to take up the karma yoga or raj yoga or bhakti yoga or any of that. He was not made to renounce anything. He was not made to give up his wife Draupadi or his children. Everything was left intact. In the same way, in this Gnanvidhi, Victor, you, in all its pristine glory and boundaries, are carved out, and then you can see Victor as he is. And then all questions are answered, yes.
After the Gyan, that question is thoroughly answered by firm knowing and conviction. We all know clearly who is the doer after the Gyan ceremony. We have no doubt about it. And before it was a bit of a mystery. Why is the world going on the way it's way. Where do I fit into this? Why is it happening this way? Why is good thing, bad things happening? And all of a sudden this clear vision as to why it's unfolding the way it is and who you are in the midst of all that, and who really is the doer. So that's the crux of it for a lot of us.
Also one
any other questions?
Yes, Fred.
You mentioned before those 24
Tirthankara lords.
Tirthankars.
Tirthankars. And you mentioned also a circle.
A time cycle.
A time cycle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And no temples and no this and no that. And you make it sound as if it was the truth, the absolute truth. You know it.
No, I don't know it.
So I just wonder when
no,
you did
no,
you get the
this
concept.
No, this is the words of Lord Mahavir.
Oh, okay.
And these are the words of the fully enlightened one who sees it in his vision, in his awakened awareness.
Who was this?
Lord Mahavir. Mahavir. He was walking around the face of North India 2600 years ago, at the same time when Lord Buddha was walking around. But he gave this total science of liberation through the step-by-step path of final liberation, which the Jains follow.
So
but
you believe it?
Do I believe it?
You believe
it? It's not a question of whether I believe it or not. My belief is what my experience is. My belief is that I am free. My belief is that this body life complex of we know is just unfolding. I am without any worries, without any fears, and I am the aware observer of these words that are coming through. I feel that I have come home. I have no agenda left. I have attained the religion of Agnas, which is of the Gnani Purush who enlightened me. He has given me certain instructions. I follow them, and then as I rise higher, when more layers of ignorance fall off, Fred, then whatever the vision that is there will unfold.
But why mention? Did you mention him?
Mention it because...
Yeah, because if you don't believe it, what's the sense of it?
No,
because it's confusing. You say something, I think, well, it's right or not, and then...
No, I didn't say that I'm doubting it. I'm not saying, I'm saying this is not my experience because, but I can see how exactly, because having known just one Vitarag, that Lord Simandar, and his energies, which we are all, those of us who have received the knowledge, have direct palpable experience in his presence, even though he is only in a symbolic form here, and having composed much about him already, that I know is my ultimate state within me, the fully enlightened one. Okay? There is an external form, and then there is the knowledge of the one who is fully enlightened. But it has to be in the form of a body, bodily experience. And at the level of the Tirthankars are with a body and totally enlightened, absolutely enlightened.
But without them, you cannot be enlightened?
Without a living, fully enlightened. Without them, you cannot be fully enlightened, absolute enlightened.
But you said you cannot be fully enlightened because it's not the time.
Yes, that is why.
So
because the last one... No. Fred.
On my mind at least.
I'm sorry, we're miscommunicating here. It's my error. It was possible in the presence of Lord Mahavir, when he was here 2600 years ago, total enlightenment. Thousands became totally enlightened and went straight off, up, without having to enter or re-enter the body ever again. Thousands and thousands became Keval Gyanis, absolutely enlightened. Time has slipped. Now it is not possible for human beings to attain that level of enlightenment because the fully enlightened one left. Without a fully enlightened one...
But can it be only a concept?
Yes, can it be only a concept?
I'd like to share my experience here because like I'm a very intellectual person as well, and there was the beginning of the Gnani, lots of things which were a little bit hard to swallow, but I just feel it gives a wrong impression because what it is really about is the simplicity of what you get in this experience. So for me, like in the Gnan, all this knowledge is right now built around the Gnan, but the Gnan or the principles that they give you, it's very simple, it's very direct, and it has to do with personal experience. And this was for me the beauty. And then afterwards, when this experience is happening, then the intellect like looks for deeper questions, and then all these things make sense. But right now, I feel this is more like confusing the intellect more, and it's all about to bypass the intellect. And I just want to make the point: for me, the beauty is the simplicity, and that it has nothing to do with that knowledge in the beginning. The shift is happening by an experience. There's a very clear distinction, and like later, taking this knowledge is more like for when the intellect has still questions, for settling the intellect. But it's all in a way, all this teaching is nothing else but to settle the intellect. But nothing of that has to be swallowed prior to take the Knan Vidhi. The Knan Vidhi is really beyond religion, it's beyond belief, it's a direct experience, and everything else is more like afterwards, if there is an earnest interest. But it's not now so important to discuss this in detail.
So, question here?
Yes.
My question is about this without a doubt, you know, afterwards, like you say that you have this direct experience and you are ever without a doubt. And my experience has been that I've had direct experiences, but then there still is identification with the doubter, and I do fall into places where I'm like, I don't even know what presence is sometimes, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the hallmarks of having come home is that you become without a doubt. As far as the experience is concerned, there is no doubt left. And if there is a doubt, the doubter is not you. The one who has the doubt is no longer you. And that indelible conviction that I am not Atma but I am pure soul is gained 100% in the Gnan Vidhi. 100%. And not only that, it is the kind of conviction which will never leave you for the rest of this life and in the life to come. Because it is this shattering of the wrong belief that I am victor or Atma is a permanent one. There is no going back. It is all the questions, therefore, subsequent to it, are of the one who has been disconnected. And for the one who is now embarked on the path towards final liberation, there is nothing left except to be in that state through very precious 5 agnas that are given by the Jnani Purush. These we cannot share with you now because it will be like placing the cart before the horse. It's no relevance.
Brandi, I just could ask questions because you already seconded again the opportunity.
Brandi, we can hold your question.
I was going to do a question. I was going to do a share that mic.
We
add to that.
Yes, ma'am.
So, when can we do...
When? Well, if you really want
it, yeah, like.
If you really want it, come with me. 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, I'm in Bombay translating word after word, sentence by sentence. A 4-day program with a full intense translation going on in Mumbai. With Deepak Pai, our current Gnani.
Which we haven't got a picture of.
We don't have his picture.
He doesn't like his
but
picture.
We wanted to keep that a mystery. Beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. When is this? I didn't get the date.
11th, 12th, 13th and 14th. And in fact, the Gnan Vidhi is going to be on the 13th of this month, February, in Mumbai.
Bombay.
February. Yes.
This next week.
If you really want.
We have a schedule someplace in the back.
Yeah, we'll give you the schedule. There's other opportunities
choose.
In the States.
It's happening.
In Gujarat in March, you can
yes.
go there. There's many possibilities.
There's many possibilities. London has a full program. London.
We'll bring the schedule tomorrow or later.
But for that, Gayatri and Siddharth and Bharat here will help you. All the administrative, the nitty gritty questions. They're here, our hosts. It is because of them that I'm here.
But we can also say that their schedules are on the website and dadashree.org. You can find it.
And dadabhagwan.org and dadashree.org. If you want to continue to connect with me for some residual issues, I'm on dadashree.org, where you will find my email. You will leave an email there. I will send you a follow-up email. I'll answer questions to you.
Email list at the back.
In the email. There's a little book you can put your emails. Dada Bhagwan is the main website, which has got all the schedules and a lot more. This was just an introduction to Akram Vignan. Kram means steps, and Akram means no steps. Direct entry into the self, and then take care of Vimla's issues. From the inside rather than from the outside.
Is there any other questions?
Yes, yes.
So this Akram Vignan, which is... I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse, but not knowing what it is, let alone the experience of it. So this Akram Vignan, 48 minutes. So I have two questions. One shot, the other. So this incident happens where in the 48 minutes?
That is a mystery that none of us can give you an answer for. Why it happens during that time.
Okay.
That is grace. You have closed your eyes, you are repeating the words.
Yes.
These are words, these are not mysterious.
Okay.
And the words are the qualities of the S capital self in all its carvings, all total totality.
Mm-hmm.
And also subsequent to that, you are given the words of the specific vision of the Gnani, which he has seen, whereby why and how is it that this world functions? The internal world of Dev and the external world of Dev. And these you are reciting, the knowledge of the doer, in fact, including a very famous... much more than that, but something along that line. And it is not just a mere reciting of words, my friend. It is also the grace of the Gnani and the fire of the knowledge that is received by the now awakening one, not the awakened one, but the awakening one, the one who used to say, I am Dev, now is turning inwards and saying, I am no longer Dev. He is his past life, infinite past life karmas and sin karmas, sinful karmas, are destroyed in the fire of knowledge. Gnana agni se usko basmibhut kiya hai. Gnan ki agni se basmibhut kiya hai. And it happens. And you wake up from it and say, what did I deserve to get this? Pure grace. It's not a path of intellectual questionings. All the questions are laid here and say, okay, this is not a path of you have to do it. The five agnas that you receive do not involve any doership on your part. It is purely an understanding. This is one path where no teacher will ever ask you to do anything to proceed further. It is only through correct light of understanding that you proceed and you accomplish it for yourself.
So I'm following up on the my first question, second question. So this instant which happens somewhere within this defined 48 minutes, which is going to happen in Mumbai on 13th of February. So, well, now I have two questions. Sorry. But, you know, sub questions. But what about, this is just very simple, what about possibility. If you can keep it experiential, that'd be wonderful. What about the possibility that this instant is not within time? Already we know from your experience, and I'm sure it'll be backed up by other recipients of this grace, already we know that this instant is somewhere within these 48 minutes. Okay. And we're not interested in even placing it on that timeline. So my first sub-question is, what about the possibility that this instant lies outside the 48 minutes?
What you're saying is that can someone attain that self that we, some of us here, have attained without coming to this Gnani Purush and his new path of Akram Vignan through the Gnanvedi. And my answer to you would be that anything is possible in this world, but the practical reality does not show it to us in terms of a true removal of the state of the doer, in the sense that I am doing it. And until the sense that I am doing something in this world leaves, there is no enlightenment.
So if I may say what you are saying in order for me to understand what you've said. So it seems to me your answer is that this moment, this instant, does lie within the 48 minutes.
Absolutely.
Not outside.
Absolutely. It is the total complex of Param Vinay, absolute humility. My Lord, I give up. I have suffered a lot. I am wounded. I have tried it my way, life after life, and I haven't received it. I am surrendering. Please do it for me. And therein is the beginning of the end, really. This.
Thank you. So that takes care of the second sub-question. So back to question two. So that is that this is a specific 48-minute action. I mean, your mind is involved, your body is involved, and you are receiving this.
No. Is that question over?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I've already... I'm in error, so please continue first.
Yes. In the mind, the body, the chit, the antakaran, the ego, the intellect, for some very divine, graceful reason, is absolutely still when this new knowledge is received, which is beyond the highest levels of the intellect. This knowledge is received by the one who says, I surrender this mind, body and speech. I surrender everything that I'm all about. This Gnan is not for the one who raises his intellectual ego head and saying, I'm going to check it out.
Yes, so...
Say, it is, or I'm going to try it out. I know. Two cardinal prerequisites for this Gnanvedi are humility, absolute humility. However, absolute humility does not arise until one has received the self. But to the extent possible by a human being, humility. And second one is, in this matter, I do not know anything.
Yes. So, again, it's a simple question. It sounded to me like our afflictions, the afflictions of the small self as you, never arise again.
Never arise again?
Yes.
No, because this is.
Excuse me. I don't mean that they don't arise, but you are unaffected.
Yes, absolutely. You are absolutely. You are insulated.
Yes.
Because they become separate. You are separated.
This is my question.
Yes.
So this instant within the 48 minutes gives you a permanent. In every case, not just yours. Every person who has received this gets a permanent insulation from the slings and arrows.
Well, you know, now you're asking a statistical question. But
it's a statistical one, basically.
But, yes. Well, if you come to Gujarat, Dave, you will see that the Gnanvedis, the moment they're announced, the first onslaught is 2,000, 3,000 people writing their names. I want it. And in the western parts of Gujarat, for some reason, all that area where Lord Krishna had walked, all that bhumi, very lot of pure paramanus, purity of energy, people with a lot of simplicity of approach to human beings, other human beings. There, the average crowds, minimum, were 5,000 in one Gnanvedi, all sitting out in open Gnan. All of them just surrendering and attaining it. You see, and there is no distinction. The lesser the intellect, the better the result. So you see, the one who is ready to receive it, he says, I give up. I tried my intellect and I banged my intellect in so many ways, asking all the questions, and I didn't really get to feel it and experience it. And so, does it happen at the subtlest level? Yes. The ego is decoupled at the subtlest level, sukshmatam level. The gross ego, the subtle ego, and the subtler ego is left alone because that is needed for ongoing worldly interactions. However, the one within who was supporting Victor and Dev in his actions is no longer there. It is as if you are now become a Broadway star, just playing your role, going through the motions in life and performing it much more beautifully than before. Just going through the motions in life, really. You are free from within.
So I'll go to my second question, which is, so this 48-minute action, with the body and the mind, and with this, I'm not asking as a skeptic, so I don't want to give the wrong impression. So this 48 Vigyan, Akram Vigyan, this was formulated by Dada Bhagwan.
Gnani Purush Dada Shri, not Dada Bhagwan. Gnani Purush Dada Shri.
Gnani Purush Dada Shri, A.M. Patel.
Yes.
He formulated this.
Yes, he didn't formulate it. He remained quiet for 4 years.
Yes.
He became enlightened in 1958, and in 1962, his cousin's grandson, by the name of Chandrakant, and as you read these books, you'll see Chandulal, are you Chandulal? That's Chandrakant. He says, Dada, something magnificent has happened to you. There is something going on. Please share it with me, because I see it. I see a day and night difference within you. And 4 years later, when Dada closed, he was in a room 1/6 the size of this room. He closed the windows and the doors to cut out the sound and gave the first Gnanvidhi to Chandrakant. This first Gnanvidhi that this was in 1962. And then it was so magnificent that you cannot keep it as a secret. You see? And it just happened. But there was no ego to give it. There had to be somebody to draw it out of him. He used to smoke, and the smoking never went away. He used to smoke, and he used to smoke the water pipe and keep on doing satsangs. There was no ego to discard the smoking until some physician wanted that as a fee for him. Dada, where's my fee? So he says, Dada says to Niruben, make sure you give him good fees, he's a good doctor. And so then he says, give me your hands. I want you to quit smoking. And he says, you have done such a great, magnificent work for the world, this doctor, because if the Gnani lives a little bit longer, it will be so much better for the world. So there was no ego to discard anything. There was no ego to acquire anything. And in the Gnanvidhi, the same happens to us. We do not have to acquire anything. And we do not have to discard anything. We discarded the two main things that needed to be discarded. The sense of I am Dev, or I am Victor, and that this is mine. And so you're done with all the acquisition. And what did you acquire? What did you attain? The self in all its glory. So you're done with your acquisitions in life and your rejections of life.
So, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dave, just finish that.
I was just going to say, if every experience that happens to us, even direct experience, is still an illusion because it's in the world of Maya, right? Experience. So, but somehow in the world of Maya, we align ourselves with the truth. Is that what's really going on? Because through this experience now, somehow we have actually aligned ourselves with the truth.
This is beyond. The Maya has to be shattered for any experience to take hold. The illusion that I am this body is shattered for once and all through grace. It is beyond intellect. It is the work of a Gnani only. Ordinary human beings cannot do it. There have, as you would know in this Kali Yuga, there are people who have tried it, it didn't work. It takes the role of a Gnani to do it. That is why, and really the Gnani is nobody but Gnan Avatar, Gnan manifestation only. Something which is very intangible and difficult to define happens in this Gnani.
It sounds like it's a combination of the holy words and the Gnani.
The holy words.
Holy
word sure.
And
it is words that have the power to liberate, and it's the words
and
that
surrender.
Have power to throw you into hell. Everything happens through these words only.
And the surrender of the...
And the
surrender of that person.
Oh, yes. Very important component. It is the unwillingness to surrender is the sign of what's more suffering in store. I mean, you know, who is it that comes and says, I give up and please? You think Arjun was a heavy ego before he surrendered? You know, he had all the vidyas. He thought he was it.
So how do you explain that some other people can have direct experiences and they're not
yes.
forever then, what do you binding? What's that word you use?
How is it that some people get spontaneous enlightenment? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. People get spontaneous, and, you know.
How do you explain that?
But you say that you are then forever without a doubt.
You're saying how come people get direct experience and then they lose it?
You get a sort of a glimpse and then it goes.
Oh,
voice
flashes. Yeah, and you know, in my dealings with people from, because I can only address Akram, but we come across a lot of. Very beautiful people from oneness and from other paths who say they have flashes of this and then it goes away. And I don't see any contradiction there. They get flashes and glimpses. It's like coming very close to the door and then you almost feel like you've touched the door. It's like a block of ice. The self is like a huge block of ice. Even if you start moving in this direction, you start feeling a feeling of something beautiful coming, like cold air. Whereas touching it is in the Gnanvidhi, you see. There is no going back there, you see. But, you know, in the energies, even this satsangs that have been happening in the past 2 days, these words are the words of the Gnani Purush. They are not mine. I was a nobody before I took up these words. And these are the words have the energies to make you feel that there is something very beautiful along these lines. Something pleasant. Something cool, my home, something not that's not going to let me fall down. You see, it's
almost finished.
Okay, please. Jai Sachidan, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, please. Jai Sachidan.
So we'll meet, for anybody who wants to come to another meeting, there is one at 4 o'clock today, and then tomorrow's the last day, 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So feel free to ask questions to us afterwards or to put your email down or ask about the books. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.